T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
That was not a great transition. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the score. Congratulations to Dave DeWeese of Peoria. You just won the gift of the year, a DrinkWorks home bar by Keurig. Cheers. DrinkWorks home bar makes over 30 bar quality cocktails literally at the push of a button. Gift one or get one for yourself at drinkworks.com. And David, as you know, DeWeese is a name of a person who has a pale complexion or fair colored hair, traditionally. So there you go.
Well, congratulations to Dave. Yeah. great prize.
And our thanks to everyone for calling and texting and emailing.
Most of all, thank you for listening on this Bears Monday on a Tuesday.
Boy, I mean, God bless you for listening, because that was a horrible ordeal we all went through together. Maybe if we keep talking it out this week, things will get better. Our thanks to our executive producer, Mr. Dustin Rhodes.
He's stealing that!
Yes, he is trying to steal the election. That's Dustin. And our thanks to Kevin Zipak, our maven of sound, back in the saddle.
Persistence over resistance.
I hated that turn of phrase, too. Adam Stasinski is in for Ray. First of all, thanks, Ray, for all you do in life. But, Adam, bless you. Thank you, Studs, for helping us today.
I love your sound. I love your music.
Both sound and music. And now is the time in the program where we begin to turn things over to our friend Dan Bernstein, our colleague, our workmate. I can't say enough warm things about Dan, the person he is, the man that he is. I'm worried about him this morning, but that's just me. Good morning.
Morning, Dan.
What are you worried about over four?
Because you don't handle things very well. Your disappointment level, you wear it on your sleeve.
Oh,
you're
that's
a
only
very
during
compassionate...
the game.
No.
Only during the game.
You terrorize people. I feel bad for whoever delivers a package today.
The moment the game is over, you let it go, and it's just a game. But, I was doing a lot of screaming during the game. But what it is it's everything just kind of laid bare. And now we just kind of get a slow-motion denouement for this whole thing. Because, you know, for how long did we hear it was all about Mitch, right? It was all about Mitch and just, you know, getting from the 100 level to the 200 level. And, you know, it's night and day. He's understanding all the concepts. We're really doing what we want to do. And then
steady incremental progress.
They decided that it wasn't going to be that anymore, and they're going to unhitch the train and find a new guy, and they bring in Nick Foles, and he sucks out loud, and it's not Nick Foles, it's the offense doesn't work. It's not the play caller. It doesn't seem to be the quarterback in this case. It doesn't work. This thing doesn't work,
and it's worse than anybody thought. And, you know, it's one thing to have, you know, kind of misconceptions about what player will pan out and who won't. But this entire operation has been, you know, stuck for a season and a half. I mean, you go back to the middle of more than that now. It's almost like two seasons worth of futility. And it is worse than we expected. And you don't. You know, we've seen a lot of bad offensive football over the years. It's a Bears tradition. But you brought in a guy to be the offensive guru, and he has not delivered. And that is, you know, glaringly obvious after last night.
They get the takeaways, too. You get a record-setting 104-yard kickoff return for a touchdown. You get takeaways. You get positive field position opportunities. And you only had one penalty? And you muster 6 points? I mean, it's just not okay. It's not okay. And you can look at an individual player in an individual situation, but something systemically is wrong. Something just isn't getting heard, isn't getting taught, isn't getting executed, even as much as players seem to play hard. With the exception of Jimmy Graham, I don't think it's a lack of effort, because I don't know what he's doing out there. I don't know what he thinks he's doing out there, but that's the only guy I would call out for individual effort issues. Everything else is just, it's, if it's design, if it's rhythm, however you want to describe it, we thought that maybe putting it in the hands of somebody else with the play sheet would make a difference, but this isn't working.
Well, I don't want to be unfair to Bill Lazor, because I don't think he had enough time to actually – I don't know that you can improve upon what we saw, but I don't know that it was fair to judge him off that, given the fact that he took over as play caller with, what, you know, a week and one day, and we don't know when that was actually assigned to him. So I'm hoping that they let him do that for another game. I'm hoping that it wasn't a one-off, because – we need to know what he can put together or work upon in the bye week. That's usually when you make any kind of change of significance. So I don't know.
It gives him plenty of time to lose the bubble screen on
Listen, that was a really bad performance by the Bears. There's no way around it.
I laughed out loud on that first play. I mean, on the first play from scrimmage, two wide receivers run into each other. I mean, it was so perfect. It's like, all right, here we go. Here's Bill Lazor. Let's see what he calls. All right, let's run the play where the wide receivers run into each other. All right, break.
The second play from scrimmage? Because that ended up being determinant of the game, really, didn't it?
Well, you also had, in microcosm, you had a throw that wasn't executed, that was a little behind, that still should have been caught.
Okay.
It hit him in both hands. And a starting NFL wide receiver, if the ball touches both of your hands, you should catch the ball. But the throw wasn't where it had to be. There were a couple times where it just wasn't right.
Slap it down. I mean, that to aid in an interception in the fashion in which he did was very frustrating. I agree with you. It was definitely not an accurate pass. It was behind him, and I don't want to say that he's entirely responsible. He did get his hands on it, and it's really unfortunate that you just pop that thing up for anyone to grab.
He isn't responsible, but there are two receivers on the other side that probably would have come down with that. Allen Robinson probably would have come down with that.
Right.
Anthony Miller's not going to come down with that. He's too inconsistent in those situations. And you saw it again at the end of the game, the fourth down pass. It just, you know, Foles just missed him by a couple inches, and it just fell. That wasn't on Anthony Miller. But it just seems as if we're watching him. Whenever they throw to him, you end up shaking your head at something he does or doesn't do.
The Foles pass that Allen Robinson caught in the end zone, where he extended himself, that's what you needed in that position, right?
Right.
It was such an important moment. Now, that's asking a hell of a lot of anyone, but nonetheless, that's what you needed at that moment.
But look at the desperation we're talking about. I mean, listen to the desperation. As we're saying, if only in that moment they didn't score a touchdown in the entire game at home against a crappy defense. You know, I mean, the macro of this, we end up talking about this play or that play, but it shouldn't be that. It really shouldn't. Everything seems so desperate.
They're desperate. That was beyond desperate. That was the must-win game. We talked about it. You had to win that game, and guess what? They couldn't muster up enough to win that game. And by the way, the best third down defense in the league apparently got beaten a ton on third down, right? That was nuts.
Yeah, well, they also had they kept playing that zone shell seemingly too deep, and they were settling down to 12 to 15 yards underneath the balloon, and it was just over and over and over again. But I'm not going to fault the defense. You know, it's just they're not the problem. And so many of our presumptions need to be revisited. This idea that, you know, Matt Nagy just needs his quarterback. If only he could have a quarterback. Maybe not. Maybe it doesn't matter. You know, this whole thing, well, now you know, Mitch has failed, and no, you get Nick Foles. I think Mitch is better than Nick Foles. I really do. I do. I think he's better. When all is
based
said
on
done,
what? Based on what? Because I mean, because Nick Foles has not been a good quarterback this season in Chicago. The Bears' tenure is one he'll probably want to forget. But you can't look at the body of work in the respective careers and tell me that Mitch Trubisky's a better quarterback than Nick Foles.
I just think for right now, I would rather start a game with a guy who can move. It just makes
well. That's
such
different.
A
that's a different
difference.
Argument, Dan. That his mobility makes him a more logical alternative right now, given your offensive line that stinks out loud. But you know, Mitch had 44 games to prove what he was and what he wasn't, and he's not the answer.
But under Dowell Loggins, I mean, the poor guy. When you think about it, when it just the luck of the draw, the luck of the draw, being drafted where he did, and maybe he's bad. I don't know. But you're foisted onto Dowell Loggins and John Fox, and then everything we thought about this and everything we thought about now it's time. Now we get all these
foisted
geniuses that are going to come in here and all of these voices, everybody who's going to help him. And here's Nagy, and here's Helfrich, and here's DeFilippo, and here's Ragone. And maybe now we know this doesn't work. I don't know if he ever had a fair shot. And he made his fair share of mistakes, and he had difficulty seeing stuff.
He's inaccurate. He's a chronically inaccurate quarterback. How do you fix that?
I don't know. I don't know. But I just would rather see him out there. I have a better feeling.
This is such recency bias. I'm surprised that you have blocked out what you saw the last couple of years. I mean,
no, I haven't. I've given it a lot of thought. It's not a knee-jerk idea, but Foles just doesn't do anything. He doesn't see anything
well,
either.
I mean,
he can't pick up a blitz to save his life.
I'm not here to defend that. I'm here to tell you that they moved to Nick Foles. Why? They gave up a fourth round draft pick. Why? Because they believed that they couldn't run their scheme with Mitch. So in order to run their scheme, they went to a guy that won a Super Bowl in the scheme. They didn't look at protection or play calling or playmakers. They looked at Mitch and said, he can't run this scheme. He's not bright enough. He's not
right.
Making the decisions at the line of scrimmage.
They did. That's
now,
my point. That's
if you're
point.
Going back to him, though, you can't run this scheme. You've got to do exactly what we talked about doing, which is limiting him and having him look at half the field and all of those elements.
I don't think anybody can run this scheme because I think this scheme sucks. I think whatever they're doing, we allowed them so much latitude, and
Patrick Mahomes can run it.
There was so much deference to saying, "Well, they know what they're doing. They just need their people." Maybe they don't know what they're doing. Maybe this doesn't work.
It's because Matt Nagy had the career equivalent or the tenure equivalent of a 21-0 lead. He jumped out those first 8 games in Chicago, and he looked like a genius, and he looked like the answer, and he looked like the savior. And so we bought in. A lot of people bought in and haven't forgotten that. The problem is, in the 2 seasons since that, they have not been a good offense. And as far as the quarterback, the answer is none of the above, okay? The C, none of the above. And the other answer is it doesn't really matter who plays quarterback in this group if you can't block and protect the pocket any better than this ragtag offensive line can do.
I didn't think the offensive line was all that terrible with a couple of exceptions.
Watch the game again.
Well, the right side. No, the right side's terrible. If Fetty is really bad. But there were pockets. There were throwing platforms there. And he still seemed sped up. He still seemed to anticipate pressure that sometimes wasn't there and then wasn't accurate. There's no rhyme or reason to it. It's immensely frustrating because so many things in that game went well or well enough to win a home game against a team that was just begging for it. It has always begged for it. And all you had to do was get a couple of touchdowns. They had field position. They had turnovers. They had the ball to start the third quarter. They got your score in special teams. And 2 field goals? two field goals. You're an NFL team. You're an NFL team with all these offensive minds and all these offensive coaches and all this practice and all your schemes and all your magic. Two freaking field goals.
So how are you going to handle it, Dan? What you got today?
Well, we've got our full-blown Bears Monday. We're going to take a lot of calls, and a lot of people are going to say,
I'll tell you what nobody's talking about, this Ryan Pace. I tell you, nobody's mentioned a McCaskey family. That's the real problem.
So we will definitely have that, and we will hear those calls from somebody named Bob. And then we will talk to Patrick Manley in the 10 o'clock hour, the entire hour, Hub Arkish for a couple of rip-roaring segments at 11 o'clock. And we'll try to make some sense of this, because that was immensely demoralizing last night.
Okay, man.
Have a good show.
Luck.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you very much.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!